Hey everyone, before the show starts, I'm just going to give you a heads up that we had a couple audio problems during the show, so keep that in mind when you're listening. There was some stuttering, it's not your MP3 player, your CD player, it just happened during the show. They're very short, it happens twice for about a minute, so just battle through it. Hopefully you can understand what John's saying, and hopefully it turns out alright. There's a ton of great information, so I hope you like the show. This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com,
Greens Plus,
and brought to you by Nitrous Oxide Supplements. If you want no results, go NO2.
I'm Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm John Williams.
And with us this week, we have a special guest, Lou Schuler.
Dr. John Girardi.
One-on-one with Craig Ballantyne.
One-on-one interview with Bill Hartman.
I'm Eric Cressy.
Can't forget our shakes this week.
It's a hell of a super shake.
Yeah, let's start off with this week's news. Need any updates for the FitCast to get the show notes with all the links for the show? Just go to thefitcast.com for all your FitCast needs. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. FitCast episode number 18 for Sunday, August 13th, 2006. My name's Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm John Williams.
And we have a special guest this week, Jonathan Fass. He's a certified strength and conditioning specialist, a certified health and fitness instructor, and a USA Weightlifting Level 1 club coach. He's currently an honors doctoral student in the City University of New York's Physical Therapy Program. And if you picked up the latest issue of Men's Fitness, he has a featured article in it. How you doing this week, John?
I'm doing pretty good, guys. What's up?
Yeah, good to have you on, John.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Such short notice. Again, we have been very good at scheduling our guests lately.
No, it's my honor, guys. My pleasure. Absolutely.
And congrats on the Men's Fitness feature article. I didn't get a chance to see it. What's it about?
It's kind of about periodization without calling it periodization, and it's basically discussing, all right, you've got an exercise routine. You love this exercise routine, but you know, in 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever it is, you're going to have to kind of dump it and start all over again. So what do you do to it? How can you make that last a little bit longer? And it just talked about different things that you can do to a routine for different goals. And it came out pretty cool.
Awesome.
I say so myself.
Yeah, I'll have to go pick up a copy for sure.
The guy looked jacked.
Funny
in it
story
too.
About it. Yeah, and it wasn't me. But my grandmother asked that. She said, why wasn't this you? You should have been. In I said, Grandma, it's like a football player. Oh, I think you would have been better. So, so everyone has their opinions. But funny story about that. There was, some of my friends, obviously all my friends bought the magazine, but one of my buddies bought the magazine, was kind of looking through it, stopped on my article, didn't realize that I wrote it, and thought, well, this is really cool, and then started working out using some of the recommendations in the article and like the sample routine, and then a week later goes, oh man, that's your article.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it was pretty cool. I was very, very pleased. So.
Nice.
Do you mind if you just tell us like the process that how you actually were able to get your article into Men's Fitness?
You know what? I do mind. No, I actually met the fitness editor, Sean Heisen, at last year's retreat for Ryan Lee. Does his retreats every year, and I happened to be there. And he was there as like a featured person. And you've got a room full of like 200-300 strength coaches and personal trainers and whatever. And he was there to just listen to ideas. And you were supposed to go up to him and kind of pitch your article ideas. So it was Sunday. It's the last day. I've completely forgotten about this. And they make the announcement, hey, guys, see Sean if you haven't already. And I go, oh, crap. So I just jotted down a couple ideas on a piece of paper, things that I sort of had floating in my head, and stopped him in the hallway. He was probably on the way to the bathroom or something, but I stopped him in the hallway and I said, I was wondering if you could just take a look at these ideas, and he really liked them. So we exchanged emails. He said, shoot me an email, shoot me, a proposal, and that's how it happened.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was
so you're
cool.
Going to be there this year at Ryan Lee's Summit in Connecticut?
You know what? I desperately wanted to, but
you
couldn't.
Bastard.
Just scheduling, and I'm going to be in – yeah, I'm going to be in school. I'm dirt poor.
I'm going to be in school, but I'm driving down. It's only a two-hour drive for me, though.
Yeah, I. You know what? It's not even that much of a drive for me either. But it's just you can't take off classes. You cannot take off classes. So, I just couldn't fit it into the schedule this year. But I'm hoping next year. It's fantastic. It was. So
I'm looking forward to it. We're gonna have a ton of FitCast footage from it and video of everyone there, like Craig and Cassandra. So.
Yeah. Should be. Yeah, it's awesome. I had the fortune to meet Alan there. I had the fortune to meet Bill Hartman there. It was fantastic. It was a really cool experience.
Lots of fun. If you haven't signed up yet, you can go to, like, search for Ryan Lee on Google, and then it's like $250
bucks.
Yeah,
I think he's on the internet.
Yeah, he has a couple websites, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that you
he's
can
like
find
20
him on
websites,
the internet.
But it's all good. Well, let's jump into this week's shakes. I'll start it off. Actually, just got some Berry Greens Plus in, place an order, and about time I actually tried it out, don't you think? But I tried it in a shake of just some strawberry, low-carb, metabolic drive, and it tastes really good, actually. I'm surprised. It actually makes the shake taste better than just having just strawberry growing it. It gives it more of like a mixed berry flavor, as is the flavor of the Greens Plus, and you really don't like have that grass flavor in your
greeny taste
shakes. Yeah,
clippings.
And it's good texture. Like, it doesn't even have really a different texture. It just mixes up perfectly, and it smells good, too. If you hit the bottle, like, you just refrigerate it, open it up, and smell it, the bottle of it smells, like, awesome. So.
Well, that's pretty cool. You know, I was kind of worried, because somebody on JP Fitness forums gave it a bad taste review, and they said it tastes kind
by
of similar
itself,
to
I bet
Greens
it
Plus regular.
But again, like Alan says, this is a great product not to be mixed with anything. But I think the berry flavor can be mixed with strawberry grow. That's our metabolic drive.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah, grow, metabolic drive. They keep changing the name on us.
Well, you would improve.
I actually didn't have time to make a shake, so I'm drinking ice water today. My delicious mixture of ice cubes and water. It's actually filtered water, though, so it's tasty. But yeah, I had a BioTest Metabolic Drive Complete shake earlier. And let me tell you, that stuff is filling, man. That's not something to go on a bulking diet, which I'm trying to do right now.
But how many calories are there
still
in
eat, but,
a serving?
I think it's three scoops for a serving. I only used two because it's sort of a snack for me, but it's got so much fiber in it that, man, it's just filling. It's got those digestive enzymes, and it'll definitely tide you over for sure. So I'm still sort of sitting on that one. I couldn't bear to drink another shake right now.
I wish I could be creative, but I'm really just a milk and powder guy. Basically, EAS I like a lot. Because I trust it. Nothing more than that. It's all right. It almost doesn't taste like chalk. I usually go with the chocolate, but other than that, I'm a pretty simple guy. So, nothing else.
No Greens Plus?
No Greens Plus. I didn't get my care package in the mail this month. There must be something going on with the post office, but I'm actually not a huge sup guy. And I really just, even the protein shakes is nothing more than convenience, and the price of milk is like a gallon of gas now. So I really just do it for convenience and for cost, to be honest with you. But I'd much rather, usually I'd rather see, you know, whole foods and stuff like that. But, it kind of helps to serve your sweet tooth when you're not supposed to be eating sugars, I guess.
Do you guys get a buzz when you drink Greens Plus, like just a shot of Greens Plus?
I usually feel like it's more energized. I'm more energized, but it's like filling to me. Like, you know, you're supposed to take it on an empty stomach, and it's almost like a meal for me. Like, it kind of pisses me off that it fills me up so much.
Yeah, oh, sure. I use it as a chaser to Red Bull and vodka all the time. Let me tell you.
I mean, the 3-teaspoon serving is kind of big. I put it in a shot glass and chug it down, and I get like a tingly buzz. But it's the same thing that
you're
I've
serious?
Had grass shots before. Yeah.
What the hell?
I swear. Yeah, it's the same sort
Does
of feeling
Greens
as a wheatgrass.
Does Greens Plus make custom shot glasses?
No.
Same shaker cups. But...
No, I'm talking about, I wish, that'd be awesome. Now, the shot glass is not not like your typical vodka or alcohol shot glass. I'm using like a little like a Turkish coffee glass. Mm-hmm. It's kind of small. I call it a shot glass. It's a little bigger than one actually. But yeah, I kind of mix it with about a half a cup of water and chug it down.
Cool. The Fitcast greens plus shot cast.
Hey, they have the beer steins.
Work with me, Kev.
So I'm sure we can have a shot glass.
Work with me, Kev. We'll make millions.
Someone just placed a huge order of Fitcast thongs, too. Like, they bought, like, 8 of them. One,
are you serious?
More than one for every day of the week, I guess. Just in case.
Look, I was running low, all right? What can I tell you?
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't do the laundry this week. Lay off.
I think that's about the time where we should just jump into the Fitcast news quickly. I'm just going to run through some quick stuff. Still no laptop. Thank you, Apple Computers, for having my laptop for almost 11 days now. I have hijacked my brother's Mac Mini for the time being, and I'm going to be bringing that up to school. So hopefully there won't be any time lapses. And we're also recording 3 episodes in the next 4 days. So I'm just making sure that there will be plenty of Fitcast goodness to go around without any interruptions.
That's our little secret, though, that we're recording 3 at once. We're just going to pretend like it's going to be.
But it's great, though. We got Dan John coming on, and Michael Rossell is going to come on, so it's going to be a good time. And also, episode 3 of the Video Fitcast, which is the all-reviews episode, will still be out on Tuesday if all goes as planned. The Mac Mini is slow as all else, but I'm going to do my best to get the editing done on it, and hopefully you're going to see a lot of reviews. It's probably going to be about 12 minutes long, and hopefully that will be up for you newsletter subscribers on Tuesday. And right now we have episode 2 of the Video Fitcast up for everyone, which is the protein bars and the trail mix, and everyone seems to be really enjoying the recipe. And John, I mean, bravo. Like, they like, I've said it 8 times that they kick ass, and they really do. Like, this is probably the greatest recipe ever.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it's pretty easy too. And you know, the shelf life on these isn't that long because it's made out of eggs. That's sort of the glue that holds it together. But I don't think you can keep them around that long, because Even my girlfriend Sarah likes them, and she hates everything that's healthy, remotely healthy. So that's saying something.
It's cool.
But you know, in the Fitcast news, this is a little off topic, but you know, this reminded me, you know, the product service, your Apple computer, Kevin. I sent back a snowboard to Burton because I was very happy with it, but the nose started becoming delaminated. So sent it back, and 24 hours later, I'm holding a brand new custom 2007. They're awesome. Awesome customer service. So I'm happy. It's August, so I'm like jonesing to get out on the slopes.
Well, it's
no
not
snow
it's
anywhere.
Apple's no L.L. Bean, all right. But I mean, I guess it's free. It's within the 1-year warranty. But I only had it for like a month and a half before it start. The fan just doesn't turn on, so it overheats, and I couldn't even use it at your house, John, when I was there because it was just so hot out. It wouldn't even turn on. But,
come on, Apple.
Step
you can
it
do
off.
Better than that.
But also,
computers are the work of the devil. I swear to God, these things confound me, confuse me, and irritate me so
computers.
Much.
And also, this might confuse you a little bit more. Our RSS feeds are now available, so if you want to get a hold of those, I think I promised them about 2 months ago, but now they're online, so you can go to thefitcast.com, and also on the Fitcast Mag, we have the RSS feeds for the Fitcast website, the Fitcast audio, and also the Fitcast magazine. So don't forget to check those out. And also we'll have the Fitcast video RSS feed once I get my laptop back and I have the ability to actually make a RSS feed for it. So that means it's also going to be on iTunes. So the video is going to be on iTunes soon as well. So we'll figure that out. I'm heading back up to school on Wednesday, so I'll probably be pretty busy. And I'm not even going to have my computer back on Tuesday. I called Apple today, so it's going to be like a week before I get it back, and I'm pissed. But
yeah.
Now let's jump into the news. First First off, the story that I picked out for this week is from T-Nation. I don't know if it's really a news story, but it's kind of news in the sense that they have a new product that just came out called Beta 7, which is really beta alanine. Basically, it's not like the run-of-the-mill beta alanine, which has been around for like the last 2 years in powder form. Like, you can get it on bulknutrition.com and such, which to be effective needs to be taken 4 to 8 times a day. And Biotest has basically made a new formula where it's a time-released version of this supplement. And I guess they're calling it the next creatine, which, like they said, is a pretty big claim. But again, none of us have tried this out, so we really can't say anything bad about it yet. And TC over there did an interview with Dr. Jeff Stout on the effects of beta-alanine and really the benefits of it. And he said that you can really see improvements in mass programs and also in fat loss programs, which is pretty cool. Basically, just allowing your body to do more work, which is kind of like in the sense of creatine. You have shorter recovery periods and all that stuff. So, I mean, you can check out the article. I just thought it was worth mentioning. It's $47 for like a 15 days. So it's really expensive. No,
it's a 30-day supply for the
is it 30?
40-something dollars. Yeah, yeah. Somebody got confused on the T-Nation. But yeah, it's a one-month supply. It is pretty steep, but I've seen a lot of knowledgeable and reputable people.
Yeah, Cassandra Forsythe backed it up too on the JP Fitness.
Yeah, they're backing it up. Yeah, so it's got good research, and you know, Jeff Stout seems to know what he's talking about. He's not just some shill for the companies, so I'm interested in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of expensive. I probably wouldn't buy it right now because, you know, creatine is very effective and it's a lot cheaper.
Right.
But I bet down the road, when it becomes more widely distributed, it's going to be a little cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, they quoted Dr. Hoffman. He's here in New Jersey, actually. Exactly that. I think what you have to ask yourself with things like this is, you know, they're talking about the new creatine, but I didn't know we needed a new creatine because creatine works pretty well, actually.
Not for everyone.
You got to admit that for
some people that they just don't see the effects. They might see the recovery effects, but not in the size department.
Right. No, that's definitely true. And it does beg the question, how much do you need to achieve your goals, especially what type of goals are they? You know, is Joe Weekend going to shell out, you know, $47 or whatever it was for the 30-day supply, and is it going to give him the results that's worth that kind of money? If it is, more power to you, you know. But just like every supplement on the market, I mean, you know, there's lots of promises, and then you have to see how it actually works for you. You know, NO2 was supposed to be the big bomb, and then it just sucked. So
it's got the mad pumps, yo. Got the mad pumps
yeah,
when
mad
I leave
you. Get you huge.
My arms are going to explode. Hey, you know what? I'm serious, though. I took that once, and my arms felt like they were going to explode. Hey, when your buddy works at GNC, you'll try almost anything. But except the colon blow. Don't try the colon blow.
Colon blow, nah.
Writing that down right now. Don't try.
Have you guys ever seen the Saturday Mental Night note. Live skit for colon blow?
Yeah.
Like, super colon blow. It's the equivalent of 1,000 bowls of your normal brand cereal.
Yeah.
But
I love those skits.
Phil Hartman, rest in peace. He's a good guy.
All right, moving on. The next news article I pulled out of – is this my turn or am I jumping in here?
Oh, Go for it.
Okay, anyway, sorry. So the next news article is from Science Daily. It's actually all over the internet right now. And it's about a cat parasite that can affect cultural traits in human populations. And as you can tell, it's not exactly a fitness or nutrition article. Somewhat health-related, but being an anthropologist, I just found this very interesting. So I'll go pretty quick through it. Basically, there's a parasite called Toxoplasma, which almost every nation is infected with to some degree. Humans eat it through vegetables and food and whatnot, and it also affects animals. And basically, this parasite gets in your body and it gets in your brain and it affects your behavior. It actually makes you become more daring and take more risks. And I thought the author took a neat twist on his article, on the original scientific article, not just what they're putting out in the news. But, you know, he said this has evolutionary, from an evolutionary perspective, it could have caused some changes in the past because, you know, certain populations infected with this parasite could have taken more risks, either to their demise or actually in the other direction, helping them out in an evolutionary sense. And, yeah, I just thought it was kind of a cool article. There's some other things out of it. Pregnant women were tested for these antibodies because they cause serious risks to the fetuses and all this. But I just thought it was kind of neat. Something from a cat can infect our brains, and I don't know. Could be a good thing in some people. Some people need to be a little more risk takers.
I thought it was a really, really interesting article. You guys should definitely check it out. And it's just one of those like crazy things. Like you'd never think about it until you read an article about it. And I'm glad, John, that you brought it to my attention because otherwise I would have never seen it.
Yeah. I probably had too much toxoplasma in my brain when I broke my ankle last winter. Maybe I need to chill out on the toxoplasma.
I took it as more proof that cats are evil.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we'd just all be better off with dogs. But that was my take on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
In a related topic, did you guys see the news story today that there was a Cyclops baby born?
Yeah, I did.
Whoa, really?
I saw that on Dig.
Yeah, gotta love Dig.com, but that's where I saw it too. And it was just nuts because they think it was due to these, they're testing out some new cancer, was it cancer treatments?
Yeah, anti-cancer drug. And this woman in India gave birth to a Cyclops. I mean, it's a real Cyclops. You got one eye.
Yeah.
Poor baby.
It's
really
bad.
Poor mom.
Because they said the baby most likely won't live past 2 weeks. Mm. So it's really not, like, it's not funny, but it's really interesting that something like that would happen. And there's pictures of it, of the baby, too. If you want to check that out, just go to dig.com. You can find it.
That's amazing. Wow. I guess I'll go next. I pulled this one off the AP wire, and it was out of New York. It was called Mom's Dieting Can Be Unhealthy for Kids. It basically talked about the idea that mothers that obsess over their diets, over their calories, and weight will produce children that will also obsess over their calories and their weight. It suggested that fad diets shouldn't really be used in raising children. Children shouldn't be exposed to these types of things. And it suggests not making big issues of weight loss or weight gain or whatever might happen in your children. I really kind of put this in the no kidding file.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, you know, they're basically saying if the parents have poor health choices, their kids will too.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, that's amazing. But what I did find interesting about this article is that, once again, you know, it's pointing to the need to educate people on how to live healthy lives. You know, it's moderate exercise, healthy choices and nutrition and activities. You know, don't succumb to commercial brainwashing. We've really strayed away from what, you know, grandma used to teach, which is eat your vegetables, don't take more than you want to eat, go outside and play. And although nutrition can be really complicated, it doesn't have to be that complicated after all, you know. So it's a sad fact that not only are we now producing, you know, the heaviest, most overweight population in the world, now we're even starting to worry about obsessive, you know, anorexic type of children because now we're going too far in the other direction. It's really sad.
Yeah, yeah. And I agree. Kids are really impressionable with respect to their parents. Like, I remember when I was a kid, we had the shittiest diet in the world. Like my mom hated to cook and, you know, God bless her, but she didn't know anything about nutrition. And we basically had, like, Wonder Bread and bologna every day for lunch, and she would go on these yo-yo diets occasionally, and for her diet phase she would eat just canned tuna and cottage cheese. And I remember like standing around her while she's eating that and just like craving it. I was like, Mom, Can I have a can of tuna? She's like, you really don't want this. It tastes like crap. You just want it because I'm eating it. And I was like, no, I really want it. And I think I really did want it. I was, like, deprived of protein in my diet. So my sisters and I are drooling over my mom's diet. But yeah, it's very impressionable as kids. That's a good point.
It's another thing, another one of those stories where, like you guys said, it's all on the parents. Like, as much as you want, blame the high schools, blame video games, blame violence on the streets for obese children. Blame cats. But honestly, like, look in the mirror. Like, you're the one who's putting the food on the table. Do you give your kids $50 to go do the grocery shopping? No, you do. So just keep that in mind. Like, obviously, most of our listeners out there, this isn't going to apply to you. But I'm just talking about general population out there. Like, if you're just buying crap, your kids are going to eat what's in the house. If you're buying fruits and vegetables and, like, chicken and tuna and fish, obviously they're not going to have options to readily available to just be like, oh, I want a Twinkie or I want, like, a bag of Skittles or something like that. So, again, just stop blaming everyone else. Stop it.
You know, when I have a kid and it's an infant, I'm going to go buy, like, a big Ronald McDonald doll and put red lights in its eyes and blood dripping out of its mouth and stick it in its crib and, like, shoot sirens. The kid's going to be all screwed up.
Get a Jared doll, too.
It's like every time he sees McDonald's, he's going to be in his 20s. He's going to, like, curl up in a fetal position, start crying.
He might grow up kicking puppies, but at least he'll be in good shape while he does it.
Yeah, that's right. They'll have ripped abs.
No, but it's even look at Jared. Jared from Subway. Does he look like he's in that good of shape now? He doesn't. Have you seen the latest commercials? He looks like he's 30 pounds overweight.
Yeah.
He's too many of those meatball subs.
It's better than being a... Yeah.
But it is, and you know, the one thing that it was interesting, what caught my eye about it, though, is it does have implications for those of us that obsess about calories. And although that's not necessarily a bad thing, it's also, you know, eating right doesn't have to be an obsession, and it doesn't have to be unenjoyable either. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think people just lose sight of that. They go too
one way
far
or another,
in any
yeah.
one direction. And, yeah.
Indeed.
Well, we've been pretty silly so far, but let's jump into the roundtable where we're going to get moderately serious. We'll start off with the first question that we have for John, and that is, could you take us through the process of getting your certification for strength coach?
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, this kind of all goes off the CSCS blog that I kept off of on men's health. Don't ask me for the address. I have no idea what the address is, but you can certainly, you know, find it on Men's Health on a search. Really, when I decided to take the test for the strength coach, I was already a trainer. I had already been certified through the ACSM and I think through USAW also at that time. But I really saw it as something that could help me in my career. And also, honestly, at the time, that's when I was applying to graduate school for physical therapy. So I knew that would help me in that quest as well. Since I was already experienced as a trainer, and I had already taken courses in exercise science, I took the exercise science degree track. When you go to register for the test, they give you different suggestions as far as how to study. Someone that's never done this stuff before versus someone that's gone to school already. So I took that track going to school, which basically meant that I bought and read the book, and I bought a number of sample tests and questions that they offered. Took between 2 and 3 months. I think it was something like maybe 8 or 10 weeks total. I read the book cover to cover. I went back. I took notes again, and then I just started drilling questions. And that's really what worked for me. It was just drilling these questions over and over again. The test is hard. There's no question about it. You really need to be prepared for the types of questions that they're going to ask. And that's why that helped me drilling those questions. But if that's all you do, you're probably not going to do so well, because they do ask things that aren't found in the book, that are related but not explicitly talked about. The questions on the actual test are a lot harder than the sample questions they give you, even if they tell you, oh, these are old questions we used no way. The questions on the test are a lot harder. And it was funny because in New Rules of Lifting, Lou actually talked about getting certified as a CSCS also in like one of his paragraphs. And he said you basically need to memorize that book. And you know, basically he's right. And that's kind of what you have to do. But I think the take-home message as far as this test is really with any test in like the biological sciences, you really have to understand the concepts. You can't just memorize bullets. You can't memorize just key points. You have to be able to integrate that. Because ultimately, as a strength coach, as a personal trainer, whatever, that's what you're going to be doing. You can't have these cookie-cutter approaches. You really need to understand what the science tells you and then to be able to apply it. And that's definitely the case for that test as well. So for me, with some background, maybe it took me like 8 weeks or something. For someone else, it might take them less. It could take them more. I've heard of people studying for like a year for this test, which I think is crazy, but okay, you know. But what you, I think that I would recommend is you just buy the materials that you think apply to you and have a plan. Look through the book, skim through it, and have a plan. Every week I knew that I wanted to read, you know, so many pages, or I wanted to be finished with this chapter by whatever date it was, and really just held myself solid to that. And in the end, I didn't end up, you know, freaking out on the last day, trying to rush in and cover stuff. I felt pretty relaxed, and I think that's what helped me to pass that test.
So I think it takes a lot of self-discipline to go through that book. You know, it's not something you can cram for, like you said, a week before.
Yeah, I would. I mean, look, there's a lot of people a lot smarter than I am, so maybe they could. But I think that in general, even people that have taken exercise science or have taken these types of classes, it's a lot of information. It's a fantastic book. I mean, it's a resource. The Essentials of Strength and Conditioning is a resource for really anyone that exercises. But it's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of detail there. And even if you know it, kind of look at it and go, oh, God. And you start having, you know, nightmares and flashbacks of, like, you know, Bio 102 and stuff like that. So
right.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, that's really cool to hear you talk about it, John, because I would have seen myself taking that test in about 2 years. And I'm hoping to get the materials. I'm going to get them next summer where I still have a year left in school to kind of just get – I mean, why not? Just get familiar with it during the summer, and then by next summer I'll be able to take the test and get through it. But it's really cool to just hear from you and Lou about it. And I checked out the CSCS blog, and if anyone's interested in going for theirs, you have to check that out. Like, I'll find it, and I'll throw a link for it up on the fitcast.com so you can check it out as well. And it's just, trust me, just read it, and it just gives you you didn't really give like a ton of tips that are going to help you like pass it, but I think you gave like a lot of great information on like studying and such.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do with it. I really, you know, I kind of felt a lot of people would ask on the forums at one point or another, who's certified, what'd you do? And I thought, well, as long as I'm going through this, you know, it was really my diary for the whole experience. So, you know, I didn't really include tips necessarily because What works for me may not work for someone else, but at least to give an idea of, like, look, this is what you may go through. So,
and Anatomy 1 and 2 can kick your ass, trust me. Those classes, two hardest classes I ever took in so far in college, so.
Yeah, honestly, though, I think it in this field especially, anatomy and biomechanics are
definitely
1 and 2 right there as far as the most important things to know. And if you know that, you're going to be way ahead of the curve. So,
we'll see.
Sounds good. Well, John Paul also had a question on the forums. He brought up the point that when we had Alan Cosgrove on the show, Alan talked in great length about how he deals with and trains women who carry their body fat in their lower body region, pear-shaped women, and their thighs and hips. And he asked, John, how would you actually monitor their diet and a training program for a woman of a similar shape?
Yeah, I mean, if JP thinks I'm disagreeing with Alan, it's crazy. But you know what? I mean, Alan was spot on with what he said. I think there really isn't that much difference between training a man and training a woman. You know, the potential for lowered metabolic rate in women because there's going to be differences in the initial muscle mass and initial overall body mass. That's that's definitely can be the case. But otherwise, you know, you lift heavy things, you get stronger, you eat a little less, you lose weight. Certainly there are more particulars than that, though. It really does come down to playing a game with your body, trying to trick it to lose fat when it really doesn't want to. And, you know, and that's kind of what I touched on with the article that I wrote for you guys, actually. You know, and it's about how can you lose weight when your body doesn't want to do this. Although calories in and calories out are the first thing that you have to look at, we also know through research and even through anecdotal reporting that it's not going to be just that. Sometimes less really is going to be more. So you have to kind of look at how your body or, you know, the body of one of my clients, let's say one of my female clients, is responding. A lot of times for women that are having trouble with stubborn body fat, I'm probably not going to drop their calories a lot. It may be a lot less than the typical, you know, 11 or 12 times body weight. It may be only 200 to 300 calories off of what their resting metabolic rate would require. And really what that does is that gives you a deficit, but it's not going to be so much of a strict caloric drop that your body is going to detect something as a threat and start to react. We know that whenever you drop your calories, you drop exercise, your diet, eventually you're going to start to slow the metabolism down. So that's really what you have to do. You have to keep that metabolism up. And that is weight training. You're doing so heavy weight. You're doing feeling heavy weight lifting. The hit interval combination, 6,000 and suggested is fantastic. I've been doing that for a long time too. Personally, you know, love to hear that. You know, advice like that from an industry president. So, you know, I make the industry because it helps. It makes me figure, wow, I might be doing that right too. That's a fantastic suggestion. That's a fantastic suggestion. And then really dealing with what your enemy is. Self-stubborn fat is actually a different kind of fat. It's actually different with certain receptors. You deal with certain receptors that are on the fat cells of the end of fat cells. There are specific receptors that are going through the receptors that are causing the fat cell to burn the fat, the fat would retain the burnt fat, and there will retain receptors or a one receptor or spare and more receptors or receptors and the more harder to be set loose are harder to find fat loose. So what you really need to do is increase the sensitivity of the beta 1 sensitivity. Factor 1, once the way we can do that is to lose that more androgen release, more thyroid hormone release, and we tell that that's going to lead to heavy weight lifting. So it's kind of heavy start to see, so kind of trends and things that all work in together, that all physiology is like that. So, yeah, like that. Bottom line here is maybe less of a caloric deficit, but heavy weight training, intervals, mixed intervals, make that stable combination, and then relying more on that exercise.
Good advice. Lift like a man, as Sanders' new book is called.
That's exactly what it is. And you know, you hear, you get sick of hearing, well, I don't want to get bulky, and it's like, well, come on, sweetheart, it's not going to happen. You know, it's really true. It's really true.
Okay, next question comes from Irish Daza. How does coaching teams alter your approach to strength and conditioning versus training individuals? For example, surfing the line of diminishing returns and using cookie-cutter strategies.
First of all, Irish, do you know how much I just sat over that question and tried to figure out exactly what you were asking me? But I think I got it. I think if I interpreted it correctly, I think he was asking, you know, how that's affected my approach to individuals, if, you know, training teams and athletes and stuff like that. So if I'm correct, I think that as a personal trainer, you know, you get people that want to lose weight or something. But as a strength coach, I'm getting into the realm of training for a task versus for vanity.
Sorry, John.
That's the puppy.
That's Macy.
Yeah, that's the dog. She must have rolled around in too much.
Either that or Rosie McDonald.
DCDs outside. I'm sorry. Continue.
Not a problem. We've got two pit bulls and a Rottweiler next door, and those guys have a bark. That didn't bother me. But anyway, what I was saying was that, you know, as a personal trainer, usually you get people that, you know, maybe want to be a little stronger, they want to lose weight, something like that. But as a strength coach, I'm training for a specific purpose, for, you know, for a task instead of just for vanity. So what that's kind of done is it's made me realize that ultimately we're all athletes. We're just in different sports. And therefore you should look at the body, you know, developing functionally versus just aesthetically. So when I work with athletes, I look at their long-term goals. Maybe it's for the season. Maybe it's for the longevity of their career. And so I not only want to make them good at what they're doing that season, but I want to make sure that they stay good at it and they don't get hurt, they don't get injured. And it made me think more globally and less locally. So with my private clients that maybe don't have a season, you still look at it the same way, though. Physical therapy also helped me with that big time because it's made me look at how the body works in completeness. It's not just about it's the interaction of muscles and the total structure, not just an individual muscle or, oh, I've got some fat on my sides, but how does everything work together and how are you going to be healthier, just like what I do with my athletes. I think that how things occur with a client on the outside of the gym is really become more of a focus, because with my athletes it's the same thing. They're doing what I ask them to do in the gym, but if it doesn't apply to their sport, it doesn't mean anything. And the same thing with my clients. They may want to lose weight, but if what I'm doing in the gym doesn't help them in their real lives and their activities of daily living, so to speak, then it's probably not worth much. And if they get injured by bending over to brush their teeth because they don't know how to have good form, then I'm not a good trainer, you know? So therefore, you know, I train for function, I train for purpose, and not just physical beauty, even when they come to me asking for something like that. Really great example, I think, would be, you know, looking at what they do for a living. If they tell me they're a secretary, what that tells me is that they're hunched over a computer 9 hours a day, that they're probably not active while they're working. They're not lifting things. They're not walking around. You know, maybe they walk to the bathroom, Kevin. But other than that, they, you know, they're probably not doing much. And that lifestyle is going to impact the way they are outside of the office and for years to come. If I have my female soccer players, I know that on the field, the way that they interact in their sport, they're going to be at a much greater risk for, you know, an ACL tear, for knee damage. You know, they're on their knees constantly, you know, running, you know, pounding on the knees and having horrible stuff going on in there. And I need to train them so that this doesn't occur and that they stay healthy. For the secretary, it's the same thing. She's hunching over a computer, which means that she might have a greater chance of getting an impingement. She might have a greater chance of developing, cervical spine arthritis. And so when I have them in the gym, no matter what their primary concern is, my primary concern is to keep them healthy. And I think that's really, really getting that experience of looking at things in a different way is really just carried right over to how I train individuals.
Nice. Very good. And sort of related, I've seen you around forums a lot. Mm-hmm. You and I have both frequented the JP Fitness forums,
sure,
and Men's Health forums way back when. And Milkman asks, how long and what's your motivation for sort of providing all this free advice? And he says, will you still be offering this free advice when you become as famous as Lou Schuler?
Yeah, I want to make the announcement that I will be charging $1 per post now. I'll be accepting PayPal, no personal checks, you know. honestly, the reason why I started posting is just because I love helping people, and it sounds corny, but honestly, that's what it is. I love learning about this stuff. I love talking about this stuff. I came into this field a little bit later in life, and as far as I'm concerned, it's all a learning experience. And I learn from every single question that someone asks, you know, whether I'm answering it and trying to put it into terms that someone can understand, which I don't usually do, but putting it in terms that someone can understand, or if I'm researching that question to make sure that the advice that I'm giving is, you know, factually backed up, or if I'm just reading someone else's responses and saying, wow, you know, that's a really great reply and I never thought of it that way. Sometimes it just puts me in direction of new materials that I may not have looked into otherwise, and then someone brings up and I say, wow, that's really cool, I know nothing about that, and I go off for an afternoon and kind of research. there's really just nothing more satisfying than helping people, and that's kind of, I think that when you're in this field, whether you're a strength coach or a personal trainer or getting into physical therapy, if you don't have that love, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. I mean, you really need to enjoy helping people. I mean, look, I could ask you guys the same thing. Why put a FitCast together? You know, because it's fun.
We're making millions of dollars.
Talk to cool people. Making millions.
Secretly.
But, you know, it's the same thing because you enjoy what you do and you learn stuff and, you know, someone gets helped and because of the information they got. So it really is that sort of thing. As far as being Lou Schuler famous, you know, I'd be fine just being Kevin Larrabee famous. But
my friends don't even remember my name, so have fun with that.
KL? You don't know KL? But, I mean, seriously, you know, as long as I have time, I'm always going to be on those forums. You know, it's just an opportunity to share. I mean, there's the day that I know everything is the day I'll stop, and here's a hint, there's no way. So, for me, as far as I'm concerned, I feel like honored that I'm able to be, you know, on the FitCast, that people allow me to answer questions for them on the forums. It really, you know, it's a thrill, and it's really flattering that people think that I might have something interesting to say. So, there's no way I'd stop doing
that. John, it's just great because it's needed. Like, I know I spent like 4 days over at the fitness.com forums with you, and I did 100 posts in like 12 hours. That's a
You were post whoring, my friend.
It's just hard because, like, it's really tough to see like questions. Like, one of the very first thread I replied to was, "How do I get a six pack?" Like, it's tough, but it's great to be able to answer those questions and to help people out. And I agree with you 100%. Like, you're in this to help people. Like, trainers out there don't make a lot of money. There's one in 100, like one in 1,000. That will have like online training and things like that, but the normal everyday trainer working at a gym's really not going to make that much money. We're not going to be having like plasmas in our houses. It's for the love of the game. That's why we do the show. We do it for the love of it. Like, we just have a blast doing it, and that's what I'm looking forward to. Just being a trainer is just having a blast, just having people out, like seeing their faces when they see the results after a couple months of hard work. And if I can be the head trainer for the Boston Celtics in the meantime, that's my goal. And if I can do that, it'll even better. But it's a blast, and it's great that you go to all the forums, Men's Health, Fitness.com, JP Fitness, and maybe I'll head back to the Fitness.com forums for a little bit and try to help people out a little bit more. But
yeah, I've been kind of scarce around there. I've been working on my own website, and I just haven't had time. But you know, that's just a bastion of need.
Oh yeah, what's your website name again?
It's going to be acceleratedstrength.com. If you go there now, it's like
under construction,
you know, under progress type of thing. But yeah, we've been working on it. I'll give them a plug too. My buddies over at localwisdom.com, they do web hosting and design. Their stuff is brilliant, and I went to college with them actually, and they do amazing work, and they've been really making their own names in the business, and they're helping me out with
that. Maybe I'll have to drop them a line and get the FitCast redesign.com redesign.
Yeah, go take a look. I mean, it's incredible stuff, and Amy's been helping me too with materials. That's just, I mean, she's just a Picasso of organization, and it's just awesome. So it's coming together. It's kind of exciting for me, but
all good stuff.
I have no idea when that's up, but soon enough.
Don't give any dates, because then you can just be like, you know,
right,
it's up when it's up.
Hopefully sooner than later.
Next question comes from Zambro, and this is like a fill in the blank. So we're going back to your test taking abilities. All right.
Yeah. All right. Let me get my number.
It's not multiple choice though. You just gotta. You're just going to have to fill it in. There's no word bank or nothing.
Dude, I'm totally a multiple choice guy. This is really messing with my head.
If most athletes spent more time blank and less time blank, they would be much fewer injuries?
I love this question. I mean, all the questions, honestly, were awesome. I really thought they were great questions. This one got me thinking a little bit, and I kind of came up with two different answers to it. I thought the more obvious answer was if they spent more time prehabbing and less time prancing in the gym, there'd be a lot fewer injuries. And, you know, that's really the truth. You know, take the time to focus on the details as an athlete, which means the muscle imbalances, the joints, you know, the connective tissue, all that stuff. Make sure that that's prepared for your sport so that you're minimizing, you know, your mistakes or the effect of those mistakes. I mean, really, if you look at it, how does an injury occur in the field? More time than not, it's because you wanted to go one way, but your body went another way. That could be because of momentum. It could be from another player. It could be just because you tripped over your own feet. So you want to prepare your body to be able to handle that type of damage over and over again. I find a lot of athletes, unfortunately, really, you know, they don't think about stuff like that, and they rely on their natural talent, and they don't think about what happens if I can't rely on that. You know, you really need to assure that that natural talent can be put on the field every day or every week, whatever your sport requires. I think a really good example could be, you know, the stories that we've heard of, you know, basketball players shooting 500 free throws a night after practice to work on their game. And that's awesome. I mean, anyone with that type of dedication, that's incredible. But you don't get injured shooting a free throw. And if you get injured in the game, you're not going to be able to shoot those free throws. So you may not be working on the stuff that gives you the stat line when you're doing your plyometric drills, when you're doing your deceleration drills, when you're doing, you know, your squats and your deadlifts to get your system prepared for, you know, for exerting your strength, exerting your power. But those are the types of things, the little details that are going to keep you on the field. So I think, you know, it kind of gets away from athletes looking to shine, but really you need that. You really need it. But the less obvious answer that I was thinking of is they shouldn't only worry about what they're doing on the field. They really need to worry about more of what they're doing off of the field. You can fit that into the original question any way you want. But what I mean by that is if you're going to be an athlete, you need to be an athlete 24 hours a day. Tons of my guys will come in the, you know, from the off season, and they really didn't stick to the off season workouts like they were supposed to. Or they come into a practice and they didn't get enough sleep, or they didn't eat breakfast that day. And you can see the way that they're acting. You know, you can see that they don't have that focus in the workouts. And I'm in a controlled situation, more or less. When they act that way on the field, they're in a lot of trouble. You know, so if you go out partying the night before your athletic endeavor, you know, whatever it is, you're setting yourself up to fail. And you're setting yourself up to risk an injury. And that's the most devastating thing to an athlete, is just not being able to play. So, you know, the injuries are going to come with fatigue, mistakes are going to cost you, and you really need to be 100% when you step onto the field, when you step onto the court, whatever it is. So eat right, sleep well, monitor your levels of stress. That is so important, and something that especially the guys that I deal with, you know, college age, they're just not worried about, and they're not worried about it enough.
Yeah, good answer. That's a cool question, too.
What about
normal people? What about, like, for 99% of the gym goers, spend more time doing what and less time doing what?
More time, you know, it's kind of the same answer, you know, in a sense that goes back to the whole how did training athletes affect my personal training. Worry about your system, not just your muscles. So more people need to work the compound lifts, the big lifts, and not worry about the bodybuilder crap that's out there. You know, bodybuilders are not supposed to be healthy. They're supposed to be big. And you know, how many old bodybuilders do you see walking around with aches and pains and this and that? And this really comes from the physical therapy standpoint, from my experience. It's such a delicate system. And you can see, even just in the tracking of a knee, what too many leg extensions and not enough squats will do to your knee. So for an everyday person, even if they're not doing anything, you know, athletic, they still need to be worried about stuff like that. And they still need to be worried about how, you know, all that bench pressing is going to eventually hurt your shoulder, and how all of that bad, you know, bent over rows with the back bent is going to eventually lead to back problems. Over 80% of the population is going to come down with a back problem at one point in their lives, and that's insane. You know, that's right. Really crazy for an industrialized country. So,
okay, last question is from Amy Pye. She writes, Jonathan's undergrad degrees are not fitness related, and I think the story of how he decided to do the things that he's doing now and the path that he took would be really interesting for people to hear, especially for those that are considering careers in fitness or for those who are considering changing their careers.
Yeah, Amy knows the story, but, you know, she thinks it's cool. It is, you know. I graduated from Rutgers with political science and history degrees. Thought maybe business, thought maybe law, but the truth is I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And I ended up in consulting for about 6-7 months and hated every minute of it. I mean, hated every minute of it. It was just, it was boring, it was arduous, and it really wasn't what I wanted to do. When I got out of that, meaning that I got myself fired, I ended up getting a job at the gym that I worked out in. And it was completely by chance. My mother works at a community center, and that's the gym that I would use. And the gym manager, who was never in the gym, she was always in her office that was way down the hall. She happened to be in the gym. My mother came down to ask me a question. They started talking to her. My mother introduced me to her. That night, someone had called out on the floor, and she asked if I wanted to work. I said, you know, sure, beer money. Who cares? It'll be fine. And that night, I went home, and I loved what I did. I loved it. It was fun. I helped people. And, you know, come on, it's easy stuff. Sitting on a floor and babysitting people. So I was out to dinner with one of my friends, and I was saying, you know, I had just come from such a horrible work experience. Man, I wish I could do this for a living. And her brother was an orthopedic occupational therapist, and she said, "Sold like this." Of course, she didn't need to work this. Just and it never occurred to me. I just never really thought about making this a career. I'd always been attracted to things like that, martial arts and things like that. But it never occurred to me that she could make a living out of doing something like this. So I basically made a plan for myself. Went step by step. I said, all right, I'll get certified as a professional trainer. And if I can pass the test, then I go before the ACOM. I studied for the ACOM system, which was an exam, and I passed it. Then I started training at school. And then I went to apply to some school for about a year and a half. They took me for about a year and a half. Every penny that I had. After that, I went back on rock last week's essential lift. And I was taking all the exercise. I was taking course all the exercise time to record, which is that I need to do this. That's really how it works. It's a lot of hard work. It was tons of hard work. I'm not unnaturally good at this stuff. I'm not naturally performed.
So I hear you.
Yeah, you know, I study constantly. And it's a wonderful experience. But it's so demanding, you know, and you feel so. It's funny, because after our first semester of grad school, I was sitting around thinking, I didn't learn anything. I mean, I don't feel I learned any different. And then I went to work, and then I started applying everything I had learned. Just started the first semester, and I went, whoa! It's so constant work for me. So I really don't take anything for granted. I really have to kind of stuff for my art, but I still love this stuff. And even though I kind of went into it later in life, I'm 29 now, I feel that because of that, I was able to go through these experiences maybe a little bit differently than if I had done that as an undergrad. And I've had more opportunities to do things and to learn and to experience different ideas and different methodologies and things versus if I had just been an undergrad, but taking my courses, gone straight into the physical therapy school, taking those courses and popped out without any real life experience. So for people that might be considering this as a second career or a career change, you know, if you love doing this stuff, you're going to love to do it for real. It really is rewarding, and you can bring to the table experiences that you may not have had if you had decided upon this originally, you know, when you were younger. And I think it can be really worthwhile. Personally, I just hope to follow kind of in the footsteps of Gray Cook or Bill Hartman, because those guys are physical therapists that really become authorities in the field. And I just hope that I'm able to do the same sort of thing and to hopefully be relevant in what I do, in the work that I do.
Awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, fascinating. Interesting story and good advice for anyone. Yeah, I didn't realize that you had changed careers, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you're closer to my age than
Yeah. I'm almost not young anymore. So, but yeah, I mean it was scary. It was no question, it was scary for me. I questioned it a million times over because every semester was harder than the last, and like I said, I'm really not natural at this stuff, but I'm so happy that I stayed with it. I really, really love what I'm doing, love what I'm learning.
That's an important thing, for sure.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, thank you very much, John, for coming on the show this week.
Thank you, guys.
It's been a huge pleasure.
Yeah, it's been our pleasure.
Pleasure's all mine, guys. Seriously, thank you.
And just one.
Yeah, come on anytime, for sure.
Absolutely. I'll go prank next time you have a cool guest on. I'll just pop in.
Yeah, you have our number.
You have the number.
Right.
Well, we can't forget to mention our sponsors for this week, as the same sponsors as the last couple weeks, but it's TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. And also Greens Plus. Greens Plus for great health, and check out their berry flavored. It blows away the greens clippings flavor. So definitely check that out for us. And that will pretty much wrap it up for this week's episode of the FitCast. FitCast episode number 18. My name is Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm John Williams.
And I'm Jonathan Fass.
And we will see you next week. Don't forget to check out iTunes to subscribe for the show, and also thefitcast.com will have all the show notes and direct downloads. Have a good week.